What's the 411? 411 Teen is a weekly program for teens and other interested folks. 411 Teen provides a forum to examine and discuss various issues and events that confront, intersect, and sometimes interrupt our daily lives. Tap into the pulse of today's youth this hour here on 411 Teen when we talk about music. Music is an integral part of our daily lives. It plays an important role in promoting human well-being. Music, a very powerful medium that goes beyond words and facilitates communication. It's therapeutic, evoking emotions and reflecting social conditions. I'm Dr. Liz Holyfield, and joining me here at the roundtable are four of my favorite Sale High School students. I'm always glad to have you. I have Emily Simeon. Emily is in the ninth grade. Her interests are dogs, Human Relations Club, cheering, community service, African-American history, singing, and dancing.
Hello, everybody.
Welcome. Sydney Snellman. Sydney is in the 12th grade. She's going to be graduating, loves dogs and reading.
Hello, hello.
Sona Wired is in the 11th grade, and she likes cats and volunteering.
Hello.
And Matias Herrera, 12th grade, wire wrapping and blogging.
Hi.
Again, welcome to you all. I always look forward to talking with you. And this hour, we're going to talk about music. What role, when you think about music, does it play in your life? What is music to you? Sydney, you're looking right at me, so so it's on you. But no, you know, as we talk about music, because what we're going to do is explore and see what you like and what you don't like and what it says about you.
Okay.
Well, I think, no, I listen to music every day. I drove Stone and Matias here, and I had the aux cord in my car. We were listening to some of Matias' music, and I find that, like, music helps me do everything, and there are some things that I can't function to do without it. I mean, I always clean with music. I always have my headphones in, to the point of, like, my mom's like, you're not listening to me because you're listening to music, and I'm like, well, oops, I guess, sorry, but there's a reason they're in there. And I think it's a big part of my life.
Oh, okay. All right. Let me hear from the rest of you. I mean, because it sounds like you listen to music all the time. Are you just like Sydney, Sona?
Music is definitely a big part of my life. The only time I really go out on the weekends is to go see different shows around town and see the local music scene. I love music. I don't go a day without listening to my favorite music. I mean, mm-hmm. Everyone hears music every day, but I don't know. And
I think it is, we, no matter where we are, it seems to be, when you think about it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I think sometimes maybe we even just come to take it for granted, because you hear it everywhere. What do you think, Matias? Do we take it for granted, and what role does it play?
I feel like music, you can't really, there's not really anything to take for granted there with music. Like, music is in a way, music is like one of those really art forms of expression, of human expression. And so it's very integral in our lives. Mm-hmm. Like, without some form of, like, expression like music, and some people are more auditory, some people are more visual, mm-hmm. so, you know, you have the differences in arts, but without that kind of expression or when you listen to music, the understanding of somebody else's expression, because someone made that music. Without that kind of expression in our lives, without that outlet, it would be very dull.
And it seems like, regardless what your art form is, mm-hmm. what you're into, that music is always a backdrop for everything else. And maybe I'm on the wrong path.
No, like, music, I completely agree with that. Music is such, I don't, it's like almost like a culture, like different types of music, you know, like there's, I don't know, it can affect so much of you. Like, music, it can affect the way you dress, even the way you act, like music,
exactly.
Just it goes like there's so much, and it, yeah, it's almost like a culture. Like the different music you listen to, that's a way that you bond with your friends, and it's just like mm-hmm. It's such a big part of life.
Emily,
I see music as a way to embrace your heritage and stuff. Okay. I see a lot of people embrace their heritage. Like I love music. I dance to music even when no one's looking because I can't dance in front of people. I don't like to. I love singing. I'm in vocal techniques because I love to sing. I love music. I listen to it every day. I love pop. I love country, especially country. It's my favorite. But I just see music has a lot of history to it, and it shows, like, a lot of people's heritage, and that's important, and that's really important to this time in the world that we need to embrace our heritage.
Okay, so you see it really as being a real connect with one's heritage. But you talked about some other things. You know, you talked about how you liked country, and I'd like to hear, what other types of genres of music do you all enjoy? I mean, do you have a particular one, or does it just kind of depend on where you're at and what's happening? So we know, Emily, you're mainly into country, okay? Mm-hmm. What about you, Sydney? I mean,
I tell anybody whoever wants to,
eclectic?
Yeah, exactly. Whoever wants to, like, play music, I'm like, it, or they can, like, play any song on my iPod, any song on their iPod, as long as it's not country or jazz.
Okay.
And that's just, that's me personally.
Okay.
That's I don't like jazz. I was telling you that earlier. I don't know what my, like dislike towards jazz has been spawned from, but I just don't like it. It's not for me. Aww. But everything else I can be into. Matthias was introducing me to trap, like, an hour ago, and I was like, okay, I guess that's fine. Yeah. So I think, I don't know, I listen to a lot more, like, hip-hop, R&B. I don't really listen to pop that much, but a lot of, like, grungy music, too, is what I like. And that's what I listen to every day. My favorite part of the day is the ride to school and the ride home, and that is, like, my me time when I'm not around anybody. Oh, yeah, Matthias and Sona are all shaking their heads. When I'm not around anybody, and I enjoyed that commute. It's a 15-minute commute there and back, so it's 30 minutes a day where I can just play whatever I want. Well, I would have done that anyway, but it's relaxing. It relaxes me. Matthias brought up, like, music is something that's never, like, I'm paraphrasing, but it's never kind of, like, gonna die. It's always been there, and, like, Emily brought up, it's, like, a history and, like, a cultural thing, and I think that's true. I think that's one form of expression that will just never go away, because music isn't just expression. It is, like, a way of human interaction. So that's how other humans communicate to each other. I mean, people sing about their feelings and about what's on their mind all the time, and that's how they do it. That's how they express themselves. And I think I agree with, like, Matthias. It's just, it's not going to go away unless something like Footloose happens and, like, they outlaw, like, dancing, and they're going to outlaw music again in the country. And that didn't actually, like, happen or anything, and I don't, like, see that happening. But, you know, some people put certain bans on certain types of music. I mean, the radio, there's, you know, even some things the radio can't play, and so you have to listen to that in private or on your own at time. And I think, you know, like I said, music's just not going to die out anytime soon.
Okay.
I listen to a lot of music. I have my favorite, like, punk, folk yep. music.
Punk.
I like older country, more of bluegrassy side of country, not new country. Mm-hmm. Classical music. I love classical music. That's my go-to music when I'm doing things, reading, cleaning. I love classical music in the car. Mm-hmm. Blast it. Mm-hmm. It's great. I like most kinds of music. And, I mean, yeah. Radio music, not so much, just because it's so overplayed. But you will hear really good songs on the radio, and then they'll remix it, and then it's kind of ruined. But, you know, it surprises me some of the things I hear on the radio. And then, like, really listening to the songs. Like, I'll be listening to 104.9, which usually plays music that I am not fond of. I do not like the music they usually play. But recently, songs come really popularized. It's called Take Me to Church by Hozier. And that song, like, if you really listen to it, it's about the repression of homosexuals in Russia. And, like, you have to really listen to it, like, to understand that. But it's an amazing song. Like, oh, my God, that artist, he writes the most amazing music. And if you just stop and, like, really listen to some of the stuff you hear on the radio, like, that is even amazing. But then they remixed it.
But, you know, Sona, that leads in, and but I'm going to get to you too, Matthias. But that leads into
censorship.
Well, not that, and also, what do you listen to? Do you listen to the beat, or do you listen to the lyrics? What is the most important? And we'll come back to that because I want to get to you, and then we'll come back and deal with that.
Kind of like I touched on earlier, someone, or typically more nowadays, since there's. Kind of like music conglomerates that mm-hmm. kind of are cater to a mass group. Usually a team of people work on that. And so mm-hmm. they put an energy into a song or they have some kind of idea of what the energy wants to be. And word choice and the type of beat, how loud or how like resonant the bass is. Mm-hmm. Very, very minute things that you wouldn't even imagine. Wouldn't even think of or wouldn't identify when you're even closely listening to the song. You wouldn't realize how much have such a deep effect on you, and not just the lyrics, which also they add to it, but the way that they place the lyrics. One of my favorite songs that I've been listening to, and I'm kind of like I beat a horse to death when it comes to music. I listen to the same song over and over again until it's dead. But one of my favorite songs that I just kind of found and immersed myself in was India Irie's "I Am Not My Hair," mm-hmm. and it was the story. Yes, we heard it. It was in the Black History Showcase, and it is her story. But I didn't like the mix with Akon. It was conducive to the storyline that she wanted to portray, but I didn't like it very much.
The pop element that Shona was talking about.
It was a little too much. But her original song was talking about how she had grown up and had natural hair, but then she had a press and curl, and then mm-hmm. she had a perm, and mm-hmm. then she had I can't remember relaxer, and all of her hair fell out. And so mm-hmm. after that, she went into the natural path and got dreads and whatnot. And then through the world, she had to adjust and assimilate, and she cut off all of her dreads and embraced who she really was. You know, I singing the song, I am not my hair, I am not the skin, I. And so, yeah.
Hold your thoughts. You tuned in to 411 Teen, and we're having a very interesting conversation looking at music. We're going to take a brief break, but we'll return to continue our conversation. If you're just tuning in, the program is 411 Teen. I'm Dr. Liz Hollyfield, and I have students this hour from Sale High School, and we are talking about music. Before we get really into the beat of the music, what about the message? And I know you were touching on the lyrics. And the reason I say what about the message is so often that is one of the controversies that parents will have about the music that their teens listen to, no matter when it is. Back in 02, when I was a teen, that was the issue. It's still an issue. And I want to hear you talk about the message that, yes, go right ahead.
Okay. Sorry. We were just talking about this right mm-hmm. now. It's Women's History Month. And so for this entire week, one of my good friends and a staff member at Sale High School, Lauren Wade, has been playing requests for music, specifically female bands. And so one of, the songs that she was concerned about playing but really wanted to play it anyways was, I can't remember the artist's name, Pat something, something, something or other. But the title was called Hell is for Children.
Oh, my God. We were talking about that during lunch. And if you don't know the name of the lyrics, it is seriously what Matisha said. Hell is for children. Hell is for children over and over. And we were so like, okay.
Well, okay. So, but the thing, the thing about the song was that the writer, Pat, it's just
so
the
Pat
last
Benatar?
Name. Benatar, yes.
Okay.
Yes, Pat Benatar. She wrote the song for a convention that she was playing at for battered children who had been living in very strenuous situations where literally they, you know, children that have just come into this world and all they've ever known is just
abuse.
Is this hell-like state. Yes, mm-hmm. Abuse and withdrawn like emotions, and so she got a lot. There was a lot of controversy over her writing the song and playing the song because you kind of know kind of what Sydney said. If you didn't hear the lyrics, mm-hmm. one of the main parts is she's just kind of screaming, "Hell is for children," mm-hmm. and it's not. It was specifically talking about abuse of children and. And that's again, if you're not paying attention, if you have no interest, if you just look on surface level, mm-hmm. that's all you're going to hear.
And then the message is distorted, really. Mm-hmm. Sydney.
So if we're talking about like distorted messages, which is something I wanted to go on, what Sona brought up about, like, you know, she touched on several different points, and
yes, she did.
One of the part was like music and. On the radio, it was super repetitive. Same 7 songs over and over and over. So I stopped listening to the radio, you know, years ago. I just couldn't do it. I had to get more variety. So I had to download, you know, I've got like several thousand songs on my iPod. I have a very large memory. Mm-hmm. And I just constantly play, you know, the same 20 songs over, regardless of whether or not I have 2,000 songs or not. But anyway, the messages are distorted. And I remember one song, I really like a band called Foster the People. I'm sure some people are familiar with it. But a few years ago, they released a song called Pumped Up Kicks. And Pumped Up Kicks is a very popish oriented electronic song that gets people going. And I remember my niece was about 4 at the time singing the songs. But what people never heard was the lyrics for all the other kids with the pumped up kicks, better run, outrun my gun. And it was about homicide, mass homicide. It was mm-hmm. about shooting up a school. And people were playing it on the radio. You know, you memorize things through music. I mean, you have a really good memory in mm-hmm. terms of music. And when you hear a song, you think of, like, the instant when you were 17 again and now you're 50 and you're like, oh, man, I remember jamming with my friends to this.
Right.
Yeah, exactly.
Right.
Exactly. And pop music, not even pop, but like those beats sometimes distort lyrics and to a way that you think this is a happy song, but it's not. And I feel like mm-hmm. a lot of songs are like that. People don't pay attention to the lyrics because they're listening to
the beat
because mm-hmm. that's something that gets them going and that drives them. So that all oftentimes, like Matisse was talking about I'm Not My Hair and how Akon was on it. And Akon is, you know, he's a hip-hop R&B artist who is, like, his job is to, like, get in there, get the crowd going, make people like him. And it does distort, like, a really powerful song. Like, there are a lot of mashups on the radio that Sona was talking about that are really amazing songs that are just, like, you know what, this is great, but it's not catchy. We can't make a beat out mm-hmm. of this. And that, mm-hmm. you know, takes mm-hmm. away from the power of songs. And there are a lot of, like I said, I remember listening to the phrase, How to Save a Life, you know, on, like, Thanksgiving Day when it first came out for a few weeks. And I had, like, family members singing it and, like, crying and stuff because it didn't actually have, because it's about a guy's friend who commits suicide
yeah,
and whatnot. And, you know, I had that song definitely touched people, I mm-hmm. think, because it didn't have that beat. But if it did, it would have distorted the message. And
yeah.
one thing I've seen people talk about recently is just that. Like, there's a lot of really touching, catchy songs that are meant to have a message. Like, Sona brought up with Take Me to Church. That's like, people are like, we love this song. We're going to remix it to all
Where
these
the
other
remix
things.
Is, you. I was about to say that. The remix, you can't really hear the lyrics at all. Mm-hmm. And, like, the lyrics are, it's like, Take Me to Church. I'll worship like a dog at the shrine of your lies. Like, the lyrics in that song are so powerful. And, like, the remix version, like, it's just, like, beat. Like, they added a new beat. Mm-hmm. And the original song is, like, so so beautiful. It's got this, like, gospel feel to it. Mm-hmm. But that wasn't good enough for Hot 104.9, and they had to, like, ruin the song. Mm-hmm. They ruined mm-hmm. that song. Mm-hmm. And, like, you can barely even hear these amazing lyrics, and it's like, now nobody's going to even get that message. Like, it's not even going to be able to get through to them because you can't even hear it.
And that's why I asked, what is it about? Now, what is it about for you, Emily? I mean, is it about the beat? Is it about the rhythm? Is it about how it makes you feel? Or is it about the lyrics? Or all of the above?
I say all. I've listened to this song a few times. The band is Casting Crowns. It's a Christian band. They go to my church in Atlanta. They are their home base in Atlanta. I was personally know one of the main singer's daughter. I know her. She's a really nice girl. But his song that he came out is called Just Another Birthday. It was really close to me because you don't know how there's a lot of girls that grew up without parents and things happen to them, like they get pregnant because they don't have that father role model. And what Mark Hall, what he speaks about is in the bag behind the scenes, he talks about how he puts his daughter to bed every night and how some girls need to have God as their father in their life because a lot of girls need to see God as their role model in life. And that song really brings close to me because I know a lot of friends that don't have their father in their life. And, mm-hmm. and it's not really have not – their lives haven't gone straightly mm-hmm. in their lives. And that song always, when I listen to it, it's just – and the message in Casting Crowns, or a lot of their messages in their songs are very powerful, like putting people on the right path, like in being closer to God. And that listen to that band, it always makes me feel closer to God every time I listen to it.
So what I hear you saying is that the message is very important. It's very emotive to you. That message is significant. Do any of you play instruments at all?
I wish. Yeah, I wish. I'm so not musically gifted.
Sometimes. Okay, so you don't.
I'll
go around and get everybody.
Yeah. I played guitar. I'm very auditory. I learn very well by listening to things mm-hmm. and experimenting myself. And so I didn't necessarily teach myself piano, like I can't play like concertos or anything. Mm-hmm. But Claire de Lune by Claude Debussy was like my favorite song and still probably is one of my favorite songs. He was one of those early pop artists. He kind of headwayed that genre, but that was one of my favorite songs, and I learned how to play, I think, about halfway through that song on the piano.
Great.
And it was a long time, but
it's a difficult selection. It's not really easy.
I know. I put myself through unnecessary stress.
Yeah. Wow, you must have wanted it, huh?
Yeah.
You liked it.
Mm-hmm. The as you were saying, the message was very important mm-hmm. to me. And I feel like that's a part of music that there's not necessarily the lyrics. The lyrics play a role, but there it's many like layer over layer over layer of feeling an emotion, and the kind of emotion that the artist put into the song is mm-hmm. what you're going to get out of it.
Sydney.
I'm with Sona. I wish I could. I have, like, there are just several things that I have a strong gravitational pull towards mm-hmm. that I would like to play, like an instrument that I'd like to do. And I bought a mandolin about 2 years ago, and I just really, really, like, I had, like, everything planned out on how I was going to learn it, but school took over, and I just never got mm-hmm. the chance to, like, mm-hmm. really sit down and, like, experiment with it and practice it. So, no, unfortunately, I don't play an instrument.
But it's never too late.
I know. That's right. Yeah, I was just thinking about the other day. I was like, when I become really inspired, I will learn how to play an instrument. Yeah. I have my entire life.
That's something that you can do. And Emily, what do you play?
I don't play a lot. I used to play. I learned guitar for 2 weeks, and I switched out of the class. I had to. But I play the recorder. And sometimes the recorder I learned in fifth grade by my lovely teacher, Miss Kimball. She's mm-hmm. lovely. I learned it, and it's hard to learn it at first because it's like a flute, but it's kind of, you know, it's the same as a flute, mm-hmm. but it's hard to learn because you have to learn the different keys and the. It's a really nice piece of instrument. I love it. It's really unique how the sound comes out of it.
Well, as we look at music, you know, we've got to look at the commercialism. And I think a lot about hip-hop and rap and how they're used interchangeably. And, you know, when it first came on the scene, folks thought, eh, that'll pass. It'll be a passing fancy. That has not been the case. And I wanted to ask you, would you address the level of popularity that we see with hip-hop and rap? I mean, why has it maintained? You know what I mean? Because old folks are, oh, that's not going to last. And it's here.
Well, there's some hip-hop. I mean, you're talking about the... Yeah,
and I'm talking about the genre. I mean, there are going to be some artists that come and go and didn't make it. But I'm talking about overall hip-hop. I'm talking about overall rap. It's still around when, you know... It was identified as a passing fancy, and it was not, you know, it wasn't really music at one point. Some folks said that about it, you know. Critics said it wasn't really music. And I just wanted to know from you all, what is the staying power as you see it? Why do you see it so popular? Because we're not just talking about in United States. We're talking about Australia, Asia. You know, it's very popular all over. And so I wanted to get your take on it.
Well, there's some hip-hop and rap that is, like, amazing, and there are groups that send amazing messages, like, I don't listen to that much, but, like mm-hmm. there's this group of Atmosphere, and they're, like, I don't know, they send, like, amazing messages, but then there's others, like, the stuff that's really popular on the radio, that is the kind of music that is...
Trashy and degrading.
Degrading women, and, like, it's... I don't know. There's a lot of songs...
Well, they say often those kind... Either they're degrading women, you know, objectifying women...
Sexualizing women.
Or promoting violence.
And against women. Right. Yeah, right. And, like, mm-hmm. you see in the music videos, they mm-hmm. make it so much more graphic, because then you're, like, seeing all this stuff, and you see, like... In most hip-hop and rap videos, the women, the most they'll wear is a bathing suit or, like, lingerie is usually that. And, mm-hmm. like, you know, the men are fully dressed and they, like, rap in. And then it's, like, the women are just, like, I don't even, it's like the man is their
young
king.
Women, though. Yeah.
And they're just, like, all up on him, like, giving him whatever he wants, you know. Mm-hmm. And it's just, like, I am just here to service you. Like, that is our purpose. And I think that is a big reason, like... I know way more guys that like hip-hop and like rap than women do, and I feel like teenage boys, I feel like they gravitate towards that because it makes them feel powerful, you know? And I know boys at our school, and they make up little raps, and their raps are very similar to those songs, like, yeah, I'm the man, you know? And like that is the message mm-hmm. in a lot of hip-hop
so
and rap.
You're going off on
but
rap.
It's, I mean, I'm not, I have nothing against rap. Like, there is some rap I really like, you know? There
oh,
is,
yeah.
but
yeah.
just
yeah,
most of it, the most popular stuff yeah, is not
indeed.
Good. It has no quality.
Okay. Everybody else agree? You look like you had comments.
I feel in a large sense that, you know, like I again touched on before, there are mass media outlets that come up with
catering.
These that yeah, they're catering to the masses. It's not as if like all of the music that's been made in the past, I would even go as far as 10 years, has been heartfelt. Not that none of it has, but the large percentage of it that is on the radio right now is popular for a reason. There are people purposely like stripping away emotion just and just leaving the feeling. I'm not saying hip-hop is very effective.
Mm-hmm.
It's
mm-hmm.
very effective. And that's part of the reason that it stayed because there's a very clear emotion, but there's no substance to it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it will make you feel good, but you don't understand why. And so, and I mean, it's almost like kind of like it's a lucrative like drug. If I don't want to make it seem bad, but you know, it's out there. I do feel though that there's a lot of misconstrued messages, because like in rap videos, the girls could I feel like girls should be able to wear whatever they mm-hmm. want. I feel like boys should not be entitled mm-hmm. to thinking that they're there to serve them.
Mm-hmm.
There needs to be some sort of understanding that entertainment is not real life. And that is what the barrier between entertainment and reality has been so divided. I'm sorry, there you go. But one song by the artist Katy Perry, "This Is How We Do." One of the lyrics, the breakdown, sort of in the third verse, was, "This is for all the people buying drinks with their rent money. This is for all the people, like, you know, doing these ridiculous things you should never do for any reason, like being very irresponsible, ruining your lives to live like the stars, to emulate the sort of idealism of opulence, which is
that's what's all around us."
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, that's what's promoted. Yeah. I'm coming to you, and I'm getting you to Emily. Sydney?
Oh, I forgot my previous stop, but Matthias talked about how music kind of sells, like, or entertainment sells, and entertainment sells lifestyles. They keep catering to different images and what people want to see. And I know, I'm pretty sure Drake came up with YOLO from the motto, right? And people kept saying it all the time and doing ridiculous, unsafe things. And you're like, well, you only live once, I'm not going to wear a seatbelt. And then, you know, terrible, like, things, like, happen to them. And he's like, well, that's not what I was promoting. And we were talking about how, or Matthias addressed how, like, women should be able to wear whatever they want. And, you know, Nicki Minaj gets, like, a lot of beef for a lot of things that is not her fault. I mean, Anaconda came out and nobody understood the message in Anaconda was, like out the opposite of male entitlement. It was, like, female, like,
women
trying
can
to...
be as sexy as they want.
Yeah, and
it's
like,
not the male's body.
Yeah, and it's, like, it's what we want to do, what we see is fit for us. It's not about that. And it was something that, you know, we just wanted to see for ourselves and do. And, you, like, a lot of people was like, you know, Anaconda's just Nicki, like, dancing and stuff. It doesn't mean anything. She's, like, sampling Sir Mix-a-Lot, and it's not good. It's trashy.
Hold your thoughts. We're going to take a brief break. You're tuned in to 411 Teen. What's the 411? This edition of 411 Teen looks at music. And Emily, we were moving around the table to you. What comments did you have to make when we were talking about hip-hop? And we just wanted to see where you sat with all of that.
Well, my opinion is it does have a lot to do with African-American culture. It does. Hip-hop, to me, has a lot of... To me, it has a lot of African-American history in it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you have a lot of African-American rappers and hip-hop people do speak a lot of messages about African-American culture and how it was like. And when I watch, you know, it's a lot about talking about African-American culture, and I love African-American culture. It's really amazing to me of... I love it, and that's why I like hip-hop sometimes. I don't like everything about rap and hip-hop. I only a selective people.
Because all of it's not African-American. I mean, that's the basis. Yeah. That's the root of it. Mm-hmm. But, you know, when you start listening to it, it's not all about African-American culture, but you're saying you like that particular aspect of it.
I like some rappers that actually put culture into it.
Mm-hmm.
And that brings it, that I like that kind, but when people are, like, having cuss words in it, and, like, rapping and kind of degrading women, I don't like it.
Okay. When you think about music, do you feel like music defines you at all?
Oh, yeah. It definitely. Okay. It definitely, I think, you know,
what does it say?
Well, I think that's a really good question. I always look at, like, people's iPods, and I think I'm like, oh, I know exactly what kind of person you are, even if I couldn't describe it. And it's not here nor there. It's not good or bad. It's just, like, this makes sense in your persona. Like, if I went through Matthias's things, I would see so much electronics, so this and that. Like, he was playing music in my car earlier, and I'm like, yes, this is appropriate for Matthias. This mm-hmm. seems like something that would be for Matthias. Emily mentioned she likes, you know, the Christian and the country. And I'm like, yeah, I see that with your character. Even though, mm-hmm. you know, people listening don't know who these people are, right. It makes sense to them. I can easily see Sona listening to a lot of grunge. And, like, me, I think it makes sense that I listen to a lot of other genres. And I think when people say, you know, I listen to this, and I'm like, yeah, I bet you do. Yeah. And it's just that kind of thing. It's like, yeah, I get it. You know, music does define people. It's what we gravitate towards naturally. I think music is something that can't be taken away from anyone. And, you know, just as, you know, clothes, you can't always get the clothes you want. I mean, I don't dress the way I would like to because I probably couldn't afford my style. But, like, if you look through my, like, library catalog, you would see all the things that are like, oh, yeah, this is who she is. Even, like, even if you can't tell if that person's good or bad, it's just like, yeah, all these white boys having, like, a lot of this music, whatever white boy's listening to mm-hmm. nowadays. But it makes sense to me. It's like, yeah, okay, that's you. That's who you are.
But what about, what role does mood have? Do you listen to the same kind of music all the time? You know, and I'm just throwing that out there. I mean, does music define you, and Matthias? And do you listen to the same thing? Yes and no. I mean, I know you do.
I do. I listen to a very wide variety. Mm-hmm. I say eclectic with like a very wide net. I beat a horse, beat a dead horse, and I just keep going on and going on until it gets old to me, and then I find something new. And so
you gotta come back to that song, and you're like, yeah, yeah, it's back.
It's new again. I haven't seen it in so long. It kind of goes out of my yeah, it goes out of my vision, and it's just. I feel like nowadays back I would say I don't want to go too far because I'm not entirely too knowledgeable about it, but back maybe around like the 90s music got around through mixtapes, like somebody would give you their mixtape, hey, want to hear my mixtape, like what not, and that's how people got their name out and got popular, and even within their own communities that they were known for, like, making their music. Nowadays you can put your mixtape online, and even though people don't know you can charge a price for it, like Bandcamp is a site. It's a site where you can put your music online, and you can sell it it's almost as a suggested donation, like $3.50, or you can just pay like a dollar for it. Mm-hmm. And it's almost
distribution is different. Yeah,
yeah, distribution is much different, and stylistically, music keeps evolving and changing and growing into deeper subsects. And just keep crazier.
Although
crazier.
Some purists would say that what you see today is just extensions and built on.
Oh yes,
earlier. You know? So
definitely.
It's not really changing that much. There's some basics, and we're just kind of elaborating on those. You're making faces.
Yeah.
What do you
say? I feel like, you know, if we can go talk about, like, what pop music was in the 1970s, it mm-hmm. sounds different from what it was now. Because I know we have – Matthias was talking about how we have, like, Women's Week. We have that stuff all the time. We have any type of, like, Music Appreciation Week, or if it's got to do with, like a themed week of people we're, like, respecting, then we'll pay music significant to that. So, like you said, this week is Women's Week, so we have nothing but female artists. So we constantly mm-hmm. do that. And, you know, I think one day there was actually, like, a Music Appreciation Week. And I remember, like, you know, people playing R&B, and it was R&B from the 60s, and it was, like, Tina Turner and whatnot, and Aretha Franklin, and you had, like, all of these people. Is that? I don't know. I can't – I'm not sure what time period it was from. But you have all these people who, like, yeah, it sounds like that, but it's almost not what I would define as R&B today, even though, like, I get it was. Now I feel like it's not. So you're right. Things are built off of it. You still have that genre, because that's how genres are defined and separated from one another, is certain beats, certain moods, certain sounds, and, like, volumes of, like, sounds. And it's not – I think it's changing as much as any time period changes. I mean, you know, we're wearing – less clothes than we used to, and before we were wearing less clothes at, you know, the start of the world, and then we started adding more clothes, and now we're taking away clothes. And I think it's just like that, you know, as times change, music will change. It's always been there, it's always significant to that genre, But you're right, it keeps building on. We do have roots to it.
Mm-hmm.
We have, you know,
indeed,
people when we think of queens of this and that, you know, we have Michael Jackson used to be, or probably still is, I suppose, you know, the king of pop. And I guess it's something what people will always respect him and just think him to be.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Music does define me.
Okay.
It does. People don't really know, like, you know, I listen to pop and I might get carried away with it. I'm listening to Meghan Trainor right now, like, on the down low. I will sing it. I didn't listen to it. But my main thing that I use for music is YouTube. That is one place I use. I love YouTube. It can widen my variety. If I find something I like on YouTube, I put it on my playlist and then buy it on iTunes. But that's a good thing. But music does define me. I listen to a lot of music. I love pop. Since I've started middle school and starting high school now, I love pop. I used to be just country, you know, Carrie Underwood. That's mostly what I listen to, but and Christian. But pop, I like Taylor Swift.
Mm-hmm.
Ariana Grande is my favorite.
So what I hear you saying, and correct me if I'm wrong, is that your music, your taste in music has expanded, you know, as you move up the ladder, I guess. You got into, now that you're in high school, you find that it's expanded.
Yeah, because, you know, I've gotten older. When I was a kid, I listened to maybe Childish songs, and I'm still, I act like a two-year, I sometimes I act like a two-year-old at home. Because I like feeling young.
Oh, there's nothing wrong with that.
Yeah, I love watching kids shows because I have a niece who's almost 10 years old.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I like listening what she likes to listen when I see her. She loves Ross Lynch. She's a diehard Ross Lynch fan.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. But do you think that music, because often it reflects our mood, it reflects where we're at emotionally, okay? What's happening to us, what we're experiencing. You know, we might be a little depressed. You might still like, you know, this particular genre or this particular. So do you see that music serves reflectively of your mood and what you're experiencing?
I feel like music, it can reflect your mood. Like if I'll be upset, I'll probably listen to Dead Can Dance, which is a very, very almost tantric kind of band. The singer sings in English, and she'll also sing in I honestly can't remember the language,
mm-hmm.
but a lot of Eastern philosophy on music, which is very, very different from West. They collide a lot, but a lot more drawn out drone instruments or deeper beats, different instruments in general. Or when I am upset and I want to kind of bring myself out of it, I'll listen to something more upbeat and a lot faster tempo. And I wouldn't say that music is reflective of your mood, more so that music is reflective of how you want to feel. If you want to express your sadness,
mm-hmm.
then just express your sadness or relate to that expression. Because
mm-hmm.
like I said earlier, music in itself is a set of emotions. And so if you want to feel a certain way, relate with a certain music.
All right. Does that apply?
Yeah, I've got lots and lots of, like, different playlists on my song that would be mood reflective. Like, if I'm in, like, you know, I want to be in a quieter mood right now, then I'll play a lot of quiet music and
mm-hmm.
stuff
mm-hmm.
like that. And
mm-hmm.
I have, when I'm, like, driving, I like to listen to, like, road trip music. And my road trip music is, like, beachy fun songs or, like, songs from the 60s, 50s, and 70s. And that's what I like to listen to when I'm in the car. But
mm-hmm.
if I'm, you know, working out and jogging, which I do every day, then I'll listen to, like, really hard rock, angry, grungy music that, like, like pumps me up. And I'm like, yeah, I'm going to go run 3 miles right now. And,
mm-hmm.
and it, you know, it helps. It really does. Because if I switch, which I've done that before, to, like, calmer music while I'm walking, I look at my time and I'm like, it took me 20 minutes to walk this mile. And I'm like, no, I'll switch the music. And you know, I have someone I mentioned listening to, like, classical music when cleaning and studying, and I don't listen to classical music, but I listen to video game music, which is specifically designed to help you concentrate while you are, like, doing the game and stuff, because it's something that you tune out and that you, like, that, like, relaxes you and stuff. So when I'm studying, you know, it's enough to, like, get the – I've heard that listening to classical music while you study will get your brain to, like, remember certain things and, like, kind of, like, keep you alert and awake. And – but video game music, like allows you to be less distracted, because I know if I really want to pay attention to something, I can't listen to music at all, even though I do it at anything. And classical music can get very dramatic and loud at times, so I'm like, oh, I can't do this right now. But video game music doesn't do that, so that's a helpful tip for anyone listening. If you want to focus, that's what video game music is designed to do.
Do you feel, Emily, that music can serve as an escape?
Yes, I definitely, it does. I sometimes get frustrated with the world. I do get frustrated with the world, and sometimes I just don't want to deal with anybody, so I put my music. If I'm really upset, I listen to Nickelback, even though that's, like, not sad music. I listen to it, or Daughtry, and it helps me feel a little bit better. I just listen to that, those two mostly when I'm feeling sad, because it helps me feel a little bit better.
Okay. Either of you use it in the escape mode?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
So you would just strongly agree. Mm-hmm. Well, in these last few minutes, I'd like to get your opinions on, first of all, how many courses in the arts is provided at your school, whether it's music or art or dance or theater? Because you all are exceptional, so I don't know if I should even...
Yeah, we have, like, our school is an art school, so...
So I won't say that to you. Yeah. Let me rephrase it. After I said that, I thought about it. How do you feel about the limited curriculum of arts in schools? I mean, because, you know, when they cut...
Good question.
When you know where I'm coming from, huh?
Yes. Yeah, when they cut art programs and there's no funding for that.
Music, art, they're always the first ones to go.
Yeah,
and I just, you know, in these last few minutes, because you all seem to really embrace music, and it's such a part of your life. How do you feel about that? Did you want to... Yeah, Emily.
I know firsthand, because my middle school, we don't have much art. Because Griffin Camp usually uses their money for IT. We don't have an art program. All we have is chorus. Mm-hmm. That's the only art program. Mostly in band, that's all we have. Mm-hmm. Well, that's all we had when I went to Griffin. And, you know, sometimes it was a drag because I wanted to do art classes and stuff. And, you know, like, my teachers are like, we're trying to get this. And they're trying to get art classes, but it's just, like, the county won't give them money and stuff. And that's understandable because we're mostly putting IT, and I understand it's an IT school. But, you know, I feel like art is important because it is important to me.
I'll go around the table. Matias, what's your take on it?
I feel that nowadays that's less reflective of, like, a cultural movement and more reflective of, like, how our economics has worked, because the main reason you go to school is you go to school to get a degree and start making money and be a productive person, member of society. Mm-hmm. And although it's again, like, music and expression, self-expression is a fundamental part of, like, your human existence. That's not something that somebody needs. Well, you know, the ideal is somebody doesn't need to teach you that.
Yeah, and that's the message it sends. But that's not the case.
Oh no, it's not, right. because there's a growing trend of, like, not to kind of, like, go back on what you said, Sydney, but there's a growing trend of zoning out. There's a growing trend of escapism. Imagination is not as firmly planted as it was to kind of, like, go out into the world or carve your own space into the world. People are occupying spaces that have already been made for them, going into jobs that have already been set out and living a sort of pre-planned life instead of experiencing the world through, like, just the eyes of a new person, just immersing yourself in some kind of, you know, different culture.
And the schools are buying into it because I see the arts as important too. Mm-hmm. I mean, I know you want to say that. I'm going to get to you, Sydney. Go right ahead.
Well, okay. The only, you know, Sale's a very smart and gifted school. Yeah. Like, in terms of academics, not even an art. Mm-hmm. But our only advanced placement class is our art and photography class. And that's what I've been in, you know, every year. And that's what I like. But, you know, I think about it. My best friend, she doesn't really like doing art, which is fine. And I think art is like Mattia said, it's like a hobby. It's what people do. You can't force it. You can't really teach it. You can work with it.
You can expose them. Yeah. Because when somebody says they don't like it, for me, I mean, I wonder how much exposure have you had?
They don't like structured art.
At Sale, we have, and again,
I love my teachers, but there's a very structured way of doing art. And especially for Lemoyne, we have Lemoyne coming up tomorrow. That showcase is opening up. It's a very structured way of doing things, a very certain aesthetic. And even though that isn't placed out in the open, it's kind of how it is. And I don't believe art should ever be structured because if somebody's telling you that your art is wrong or your music is wrong, they are telling you that you are expressing yourself wrong, and that is something that you should never tell anybody.
That's a beautiful way to end it. Okay, that's it for this edition of 411 Teen. Tune in next week, same time, same place, to get the 411 on 411 Teen. This edition of 411 Teen was produced by Dr. Liz Hollyfield. Technical assistant, Ken Smith. Audio copies are available, and if you want to participate in 411 Teen or have suggestions for discussion topics, call 1-800-829-8809, extension 358. If you would like to subscribe to 411 Teen podcast, log in wfsu.org. Check us out on Facebook.